There is a little thing that we only sometimes hear ever mentioned. And that is our conscience. Now, that is something which is maybe difficult to define. And it's certainly something that the doctor cannot take away by any surgery. It is a little voice within us that is troubled when we do wrong or when we sin against knowledge. It is that witness within each of us of either a life lived in sin or a life lived unto God and void of offense toward God and man, as the Apostle Paul could say. The Bible is found often to speak about the conscience and about a good conscience. But there are is also those verses which speaks about not so good a conscience. And if you come with me, for example, to 1 Timothy chapter 4, you will see words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy concerning days of apostasy. The opening two verses of 1 Timothy chapter 4, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." That really is a definition of what an apostate is. One who departs from the faith. "Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." That's not a good conscience. That's a conscience which is numb to sin, which is seared with a hot iron. Do you know, men and women, young people, when we come into the passage that we have read together tonight, that which we are confronted with is the conscience of Herod the king being awakened. He had put John the Baptist to death some time before. But now what was being noised abroad was of the great works that the Savior was doing. And as his fame was been heard, and as of those works were been heard, Herod believed that it was John the Baptist, and that he was risen from the dead. Now there were others, and they thought that it was Elias or Elijah. There were others, and they thought it was one of the prophets. But no one could change Herod's mind in whom he believed it was. He was convinced that it was John the Baptist whom he had put to death, and that John the Baptist was now risen again from the dead. What follows is an account of what led to the death of this forerunner of the Savior. And especially of that fateful night when, for the satisfying of his lustful spirit, he was to promise up to the half of his kingdom, but that which was sought for was the head of the preacher. No wonder then that his conscience was troubled, for his hands were dripping with the innocent blood of the man of God. A man who preached the truth to his soul. A preacher who left Herod in no doubt over his sin and of his need of repentance. And thus, as we come to the words of verse 20 of my text, we have tonight for our consideration the preacher and the murderer. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. When he heard him, he did many things. Heard him gladly. Maybe that speaks of someone in this meeting tonight. Let me show you firstly here Herod's recognition. Herod had been confronted with the preaching of John the Baptist. And it seems that he had met this man of God more than on one occasion. And like Stephen and like the Apostle Paul, John the Baptist wasn't afraid to tell the message as it was. It didn't matter who his congregation were before him. To the people of Judah and to the people of Jerusalem, he preached to them the need for repentance and the remission of sins. And John the Baptist was no modernist who was afraid to preach against sin, as so often is the case today. And here's a man, and he preached the word. That is evidently and abundantly clear in this passage, which speaks of that time when he stood before King Herod, and he was to preach unto him. For you'll consider with me the words of verse 18. He told him straight to his face that he was an adulterer. Look at the words of that text. Look at the words where it says, "For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." And those words were still ringing in Herod's mind, even though John was now dead. He told them straight to his face, for he understood the sin that Herod reveled in, and seeing the sin and seeing the immorality being openly paraded in the palace, he preached against it, and he preached against it before the face of the king himself. Let me ask you tonight, you might say, "Preacher, what was the effect of such preaching?" It's just the same as today, for people don't like their sin being touched. People don't like the preacher preaching against sin. And the same was the case with John the Baptist. For you'll see that Herodias, after hearing his preaching, verse 19, was to have a quarrel against him and would have killed him. And you'll notice how the margin renders that word quarrel. She was to have a grudge against the preacher from that day and forward. That's what it means. She was to have a grudge against him. And no doubt Herodias was also to vent her anger against the man of God before her husband or before Herod. And I want you to understand that this was more than just a raised voice for a minute or two. Sometimes the women are known for that. They get a wee bit heated up and they'll shout at you for a minute or two and then it's over. Well, that's more than this. More than that. Here was a woman, and the sense is she was furious. Furious against the man of God. Furious against the preacher. As we would say today, she had an end for John the Baptist from that day forward. Her fury was never to let up against the man of God because of how he had exposed their sin. Because of how he had spoke against their immoral relationship. And that rage and that anger, it waited for an opportunity whereby she could get her revenge by taking away his life. And if Herodias had anything to do with it, then his death would have been sooner rather than later. But we read that she could not kill him. For verse 19 suggests that Herod was to prevent it. You see, the king had listened to John the Baptist's strong preaching. And he was to recognize that he was a man of God. Even though John held the mirror of God's word before him, which showed him what he was and showed him that he was a sinner. Oh, here's a man, here's a king, and he felt the sharpness of the two-edged sword. He was left in no doubt over his condition before God. Yet Herod was to realize that John was a preacher of righteousness. Indeed, the verse states, my text, that he knew him to be a just man. He knew him to be a holy man. In other words, he saw in John a righteous man. A man who displayed a saintly character. A man who was of God. A man who was dead to sin and alive unto God. That's what he saw in the preacher. Man who is speaking the truth to his soul. Because of that, Herod then sought that he would hear him on other occasions. For that reason, Herod was to observe him. And the sense of that word means that he was to keep him from the evil plots of Herodias who was seeking to kill him. We could say that Herod was to show a certain amount of reverence and respect towards the preacher. He held him in high esteem, even though he was the object of his strong preaching. He was brought to recognize that he was a vile sinner in need of the Savior. Now he even feared him, knowing that he was God's man who preached down sin and who preached up the need of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that was John's whole business. It was to preach Christ. He was the forerunner of the Savior, and by the banks of the Jordan one day he said to the people, "Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world." Didn't point them to himself, but he pointed them to the Savior. And one other occasion, when his disciples were saying that all the country were going after Christ, it was John who said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." His whole business was to preach Christ. And that is what he engaged himself in as he was preaching to Herod. Can I say, dear unsaved soul in this meeting, It is very possible. Very possible for you to love to come to this place where the gospel is preached in all its fullness. It's very possible tonight for you to have a respect and a reverence for the house of the Lord, for God's servant, and for the word been preached. It's even possible for you to be engaged in helping God's people in a little way, and yet you yourself are still not a child of God. You yourself are yet in your sin. Herod recognized these things, and he recognized in John a man of God, and he had a certain respect and a reverence for him, yet he still wasn't saved. You could do all those things, and yet be a sinner in the depths of your sin and on the way to a Christless eternity. It may even be that the preacher on occasions, unknowingly to himself, has exposed your sin. And as God's word was preached to your heart, it has shone into the deepest recesses of your soul, and you have been brought to recognize that you are that vile, that guilty sinner before a just and a holy God. But what you, dear friend, need to recognize tonight is this, is that salvation is not of works. It is not found in being respectful to the gospel. It has not even been found in merely being in the house of the Lord on a regular basis. But salvation is all of the Lord, and it's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone, the one whom John the Baptist was faithful to preach up and point the people to. And you know, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You can have the gift of faith tonight under the preaching of God's word. Would to God this evening that your conscience would be troubled because of your sin, and that you would recognize that one day you'll have to stand before the same Christ of whom we preached to you, of whom John the Baptist was to preach to King Herod, and his sentence to your heart on that great day will either be eternal life or else eternal death. Which is it going to be for you? If this was your last message preached to your heart, where would you be in eternity? What will be God's sentence to your heart? Let me show you secondly here, not only His recognition, but His responsibility. You see, I look at the words of my text and we must conclude. Herod went further than many today do under the preaching of the gospel. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. When he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Here was a man who willingly heard the word of the Lord preached unto his soul, even though it was a sharp word. And even though the preacher didn't miss the target, but he was also a man who, as a result of the powerful word been preached, he was one who did many things. It's no small matter that Herod even permitted and allowed John the Baptist to come before him. We know, of course, that his appearance was one who wore the camel's hair and had the girdle of skin around his loins. He was one who wasn't endowed with the best of robes, as would have been the case with those in the palace. Yet nevertheless, Herod the king was to hear him. But I want you to understand that he did more than that. He was not only one who heard him, but the verse implies in some degree that he was to obey after what he had heard preached. I wonder, could the same be said of you tonight under the sign of the gospel? You see, I want you to understand that you have a responsibility as you sit under the gospel this evening. It is incumbent upon you not only to be a hearer, but also to be a doer. The Lord said through His servant James, James 1:22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And so as the Lord would say to your soul tonight, repent and believe the gospel that your sins may be blotted out. I wonder, have you taken heed to God's words? Or as the Lord would say to your heart, dear soul, that you are to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. I wonder, have you acted upon what you've heard? Have you experienced the salvation of God in your soul tonight? Have you not only heard, but have you obeyed? But I want you to see also that we are told that Herod gladly heard John the Baptist. I tell you again that here is a man, even though he's a wicked man, he has gone further than many tonight. Because there are many who do not gladly hear the preacher of righteousness. They would rather stay away from the house of the Lord. They would rather engage themselves in the things that satisfy the flesh and feed their senses than to have their souls fed and to have that word which is of eternal value. There are many, and they never darken the church door tonight. Yet here's a wicked man, and he gladly heard the preacher. Of course, we ought not to be surprised at that. And child of God, don't you be disheartened. Because we know that that has been the case for all time. You see, the Word of God reminds us that the message of the Gospel and the good seed of the Word is received differently. And if you turn over to that great parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, you will see that that is the case. There are four different types of soil here. Four different types of ground. And every type is representative of the hearts of men and women. Luke chapter 8, in the words of verse 11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside, here's the first type, are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Doesn't remain long in their hearts. Verse 13, they on the rock are they, here's another type, which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. There's signs of hope there, there's a receiving it with joy, there's even a sense of belief about it. But when temptation comes, that's it finished. Verse 14, that which fell among thorns, here's another type, are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So many things encroach upon them that the word of God is choked. Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. Four different types of soil, representative of the hearts of men and women, but only one. Only one brings forth fruit unto God's glory. What type of soil does your heart represent tonight? You see, the point that I want to get across is that the sinner's responsibility concerning God's word does not end with just hearing it. It is not merely enough to hear the word of God preached. Many have sat for years on end hearing the gospel, but tonight they're worse off. For that's all they have done. That's all they have done. They haven't acted by faith upon listening upon it and hearing it. Listening to the word whereby your soul might be saved is a privilege, but with the privilege comes a responsibility, and that is to receive the word into your life and into your heart. It's not enough to see to many things and to put many things right in your life, for Herod did that, yet his conscience was disturbed. This isn't enough to hear about the Lord of glory who can save you from your sins, but you must repent of your sin and take Him as your own and personal Savior. Oh dear soul, learn tonight from Herod that you can go a long way on the road to grace and to glory and yet fall short of it and perish for all eternity. I often wonder How much hotter will the fires of hell be for those who heard the word of the gospel and were left without excuse? They knew, they understood of their need of Christ and God's salvation, yet they rejected Him. That was what the Savior taught would be the case with the cities which had witnessed His preaching and His mighty works. There would be a greater judgment upon them because they had been the privileged the most. And the judgment that would be upon those places which had never heard. You'll see it in the words. In fact, it's found even in the passage that we read tonight. But if you turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and the words of verse 20, it brings it before you again. It said, "Then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. He said, 'Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes.'" And you will consider with me that Bethsaida was a place where three of His disciples were brought up and were to come from. You will consider that in Mark 8 you'll read of the blind man who had received his sight. He was from Bethsaida. They had saw many of the works of the Lord done there, and yet they hadn't repented. Verse 23, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." It was at Capernaum that Christ preached in the synagogue. Here was a place where they heard the message, they heard the prince of preachers, yet they rejected the Savior. They were privileged. But they didn't respond to the message. Dear soul, you will have to give an account of how you received the word of the gospel. How you received that word that was preached to your heart. God forbid that it would be said that you perished, leaving this world with no testimony of God's saving grace, and you did so from sitting under the gospel when preached to your heart every week. A privileged soul. Yet when God's Spirit strove with you, you still rejected the Word. You still rejected Christ. As God's Spirit strives and as He convicts you of your sin, then heed the call of Christ in the gospel. Will you not come to Him tonight and be saved? Herod recognized a man of God, and his responsibility was in hearing that word to not only do things, but to repent of his sin. You see, that leads me thirdly on to show you his rejection. Or he never did that. Herod was a privileged man in that he heard words whereby he might be saved. But the sad thing is that like Agrippa and Felix that was to follow, the scriptures are silent on him actually turning from sin and receiving Christ as his Savior. Herod heard of his need. He had his sin exposed, but he rejected the message of grace to his soul. And the verse reveals to us that he did many things after hearing John preach, but he didn't do the most important thing, and that was to repent and to be saved. The most important thing was to see to his need of a spiritual standing at the expense of the physical. But for Herod, he held on to his sin. And he held on to his adulterous relationship with Herodias. He would not give up his sin. And his soul was hardened. His rejection of the message, in effect, was to bring him to that never-to-be-forgotten evening when he ordered the death of the preacher. Oh, if you glance your eye across the page, you will see that the scripture revealed to us that he was exceedingly sorry. Verse 26, that such a request was made for the head of John the Baptist. He was exceeding sorry. You see, he cared for the preacher. He cared for the man. But he cared more for his reputation. And he cared more for the oath that he had made to the daughter of Herodias. I wonder, what do you care for most this evening? Is it the welfare of your eternal soul? Or is it some earthly sin that will be burned up in the flames of hell, and that for all eternity? What do you care for most tonight? In rejecting the word that John preached, he rejected God's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, understand, men and women, young people, this evening, when you walk out from sitting under the gospel being preached and you reject the only message of hope to your soul, you're not rejecting the preacher, you're not rejecting the denomination, but you're saying no to God's dear Son. You're saying no to Christ. You're saying no to His wonderful offer of salvation purchased at the highest price upon Mount Calvary. Herod heard Christ preached, but he rejected Christ as Savior. What about you? Are you any different tonight? By rejecting the Word, he rejected heaven, and he went to a lost eternity in hell. And I trust that you see, dear friend, what folly there is in permitting some sin to keep you back from getting right with God. The Savior was to teach the same in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, in the words of verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And what the Savior was teaching in those verses is simply this: it's better to have done with that sin, and the context is the sin of adultery, by the way, in that passage, or indeed any sin. It's better to have done with that sin and to burn with those sins in the fires of hell. Herod rejected the message of the gospel, and with it the only Savior of the world who could save his soul. What's it going to be tonight? Is it going to be your sin? Preacher, I'm going to hold on to it. Or is it going to be Christ? You see, the day came when Herod was to stand not before John the Baptist, the preacher, but the day came when Herod was to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Preachers. Judas had betrayed the Lord. The Savior was on his way to Calvary to lay down his life for the sins of his people. Pilate, in due process, was to send him to appear before Herod, believing he was from his jurisdiction, and he was to be sent before Herod to be questioned by him. Herod had desired this day for a long time. You'll see that from Luke chapter 9. The same account as we've read in Matthew 6 tonight in verse 9. Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. Herod longed for this day. He had heard of many things which the Savior had done. At not least he had heard of him through the lips of John the Baptist. And now that day had arrived. Now he was standing face to face before him, the preacher and the murderer. But this was the day that Herod didn't reject the Savior. For this was the day that the Savior rejected Herod. You say, where do you see that? You turn to Luke chapter 23. In the words of verse 8. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he had hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words. But he answered him nothing. Nothing. He had nothing to say to him. He had nothing to say to the one who had rejected the message of his servant John the Baptist. Herod's day of opportunity was gone. Christ said nothing to him. And that day is yet still to come, in which Herod will stand before Christ as judge. And on that day, he will hear that final and that eternal rejection. For he shall hear those words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." The final rejection. What about you, sinner? What are you going to do with Christ tonight as he's been preached to you in the gospel? What are you going to do with this, your day of opportunity? Listen to the words of the little chorus. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. For one day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? I earnestly pray that you would no longer reject God's offer of mercy and rejecting the Christ of God who died on the cross that you might have eternal life. But tonight, yes, now, look away by faith to him and accept what he has done for a sinner like you and be saved for time and for eternity. And then I'll tell you, your conscience will not be troubled like Herod's was. But your conscience and your soul will be at peace with God. Will you come tonight? Learn from this man. But in God's name, don't end up like this man. Rejecting Christ, he will be rejected for all eternity. Will you come this evening? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please. Our Father, we thank the Lord for the stillness in the meeting. We thank the Lord for this solemn passage. And, O God, our prayer would be that thou would speak with that still small voice and draw that soul unto Christ just now. God forbid that they would stand in Herod's shoes one day, eternally rejected, shown the lake of fire, and that from sitting under the gospel for a lifetime. Speak, we pray, when the preacher's voice is set. Speak through the final hymn that will be sung. Bring that soul to the Savior for Jesus' sake. Amen.